couple of thoughts I want to share with you today. I got a couple different directions here the Lord has been dealing with me about. One, I thought I was going to talk about this on Wednesday night, and the Lord took a different direction. Sister Schoonover, the Lord used her mightily on Wednesday night, if you were here, to talk to us about some things. It's amazing to me as you think about the Word of God and how God perceives us, we being children of God, He being our Father. It's been ironic to me how fatherhood has changed my perception of God. I don't know if you can understand that or not. And no offense to anyone here who's not a father, who hasn't had kids or isn't, you know, but it just changed my perspective of God, because how I see my daughter and how I interact with her and my patience or lack thereof with her is caused me to see differently or understand differently how God possibly sees me and how I believe personally He views me. There was an incident where I was talking with my family a couple weeks ago. We were in the same room eating dinner, and I was telling them a story. This is going to scare some of you, but just don't call Child Protective Services until the story's over, okay? Hadley loves to drive. I don't know. I mean, at 2-3 years old, she loves to drive. And sometimes out on the farm, in the middle of nowhere, on all these dirt and gravel roads we have, sometimes I'll put her in my lap and let her drive the truck. No, she's not running the gas. She just likes to sit on my lap while we're cruising around the farm. And now, you got to understand my perspective. My earliest remembrance of driving was 10 years old. That's the earliest I can remember. I'm sure I was driving before that, because that's just, we lived in the country. We were on a gravel road. It was a private road. I drove my dad's 77 Ford pickup all over the countryside. Joe Diffie said he drove 100,000 miles on his knees. I drove 100,000 miles before I had a driver's license. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I drove a lot. And then when it became time when my dad trusted me on a tractor, I drove hours. Before I ever had a driver's license, I was driving combines and windrowers. I was driving all kinds of stuff. I remember the day that I got in the car with the licensing guy that had to ride around with me. I mean, I was chatting this guy up, and he looked over at me and says, "You should really stop talking and just concentrate on your test." But I didn't want to say anything, but I had driven so much by that time that it was like, no big deal. My dad became happy the day I got my driver's permit, my learner's permit, and I could drive with him, because he let me drive everywhere. He didn't care. He threw me the keys and said, "Man, I get to kick back now." And so that was my upbringing. Now it's different. If I lived in the city, I probably wouldn't have been driving at 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old. Had I not been raised in the background I was, I wouldn't have been driving tractors and all kinds of heavy machinery. And the crazy thing was, I had no fear. I remember the first construction site I showed up on, there was a backhoe sitting there. And I got there at 7 o'clock in the morning to start work, and everybody was sitting around. And about 7:15, I looked at one of the guys, the guy who was about 40 years older than me, and I said, "What are we doing today?" He goes, "Well, we're waiting on someone to show up and operate this backhoe and backfill this house. We had poured the foundation. We need to backfill it so we can start framing it." And I said, "What do you mean we're waiting on somebody?" He says, "Well, none of us know how to run it." I said, "I'll run it." He says, "You know how?" I said, "No, but give me 5 minutes. I'll figure it out." They were afraid of this piece of machinery. It didn't even take five. It was about 3 minutes to figure out how the bucket went up and down. Now, I did hit the foundation once, only once. But I figured it out. And I started this career of heavy equipment operating. And people ask me, what was your training on how to operate heavy equipment? You know, I point back to that day I showed up on that site, and everyone was scared to get on this backhoe, and I got on it. So that's my perspective of driving. So when Hadley says, when we're driving around the farm, Hadley says, "Daddy, I want to drive." "Sure, let's drive." She loves the Gator, so I put her on the Gator. The Gator is just this four-wheeled, two-wheel drive farm machine. Put her in my lap, let her drive the Gator. But I get so frustrated with her. This is the conversation I was having with my parents. I get so frustrated with her because she wants to drive, and so I put her on my lap, and I've got the gas and the brake, you know, and I give her the steering wheel. When we're on the Gator, I give her the steering wheel, free rein. You can drive wherever you want to go. And I'm telling you, folks, we're headed straight for a tree. Straight for a tree at 3 miles an hour. And I'm like, "Hadley, turn this way." I mean, finger in front of her face, "Turn that way." We just keep heading towards a tree. gladly turn that way. We just keep heading towards the tree. And so I have to put my hands on the steering wheel and I have to turn it. And then she gets upset. Dad, I'm driving. I know you are, but we're about to run into that tree. I've tried all kinds of things. And this is probably half a dozen times now that we've experimented with this. Can you drive? And I was explaining my frustration to my parents. And my dad looked at me with a straight face and says, what do you expect? She's 3 years old. You're wanting her to drive like a 30-year-old, and she's only 3. She has hard enough time with a tricycle keeping it away from the walls and the corners in our house. There are other times where, you know how 3-year-olds are. I don't understand after I put her in her bed for the 15th time at night and said, good night, Hadley, it's time to go to sleep. Daddy loves you. And I shut the light off and walk out. I don't understand why on the 16th time she comes running back out of the room. Daddy, where's my water at? What? You're 3 years old. We've been doing this for 3 years. What part of staying in your bed don't you understand? But the other night as I was sitting outside of her room because now we're going on like an hour of this in and out, need a snack, need a cracker, need a drink, need a go potty, need a this, need a that, need a book, need a... We're an hour on this. We're an hour into this process now, and I'm going, what? Where did I go wrong as a dad? And as I was sitting outside her door, I felt so plain and clear the Lord say to me, where did I go wrong as God? Oh, you know what? I never thought of it that way. How frustrated does he get with me? You know, at times in my, I'm 34 years old. I feel like I'm a smart man. I'm an intelligent man. Someone tells me how to do something, I can understand it. Somebody tells me what to do, I can understand it. But how frustrated, how irritated at times does God become with me? And in his love and in his mercy, how many times is he ready to just say, really? For the 17th time tonight, stay in your bed. I think back to the children of Israel. And God saying to Moses, just get out of the way and let me wipe them out. I'm done with them. I can't take it anymore. I've bailed them out, provided for them and given to them and blessed them and rained manna down and brought them quail and gave them water from rocks. And I rolled back the Red Sea and I've defeated their enemies and I've proved to them time and time again that I'm capable. I'm capable of taking care of you. I'm capable of fixing your problems. And yet you sit down there and you murmur and complain and you whine and you tell me how you wish you could go back to Egypt because they got leeks and onions there and all these things. And really, get out of the way, Moses. I'm just gonna wipe them out. I'm God. I'll start all over again. And so as a dad, I find myself at times impatient with my 3-year-old because she doesn't know how to drive yet. And I wonder if God over the balcony of heaven is looking at me at 34 and saying, dude, you still don't know how to follow me? You're still trying to run your own life at 34? I've given you 34 years to figure this out. I've given you 34 years to get your plans crumpled up and thrown in the garbage can, and you're still trying to fabricate one. At what point are you going to get this? Stay in your bed. You know, the great thing, I'm picking on her, and she isn't even old enough to defend herself. The great thing about kids at that age is that they're smart and they're ever learning. They're smart and ever learning. And sure, there's some things that they don't get. Sure, there's some things. You know, and it's funny about childhood is that we're at 3 now and she don't want to go to bed, but at 13, you can't get them out of bed. And amazing that process that happens. I remember the days where nap time was absolute torture for me. But now, man, if I could slip a nap in the middle of the day, it's like heaven on earth. Just 15 minutes. Just give me 15 minutes. I'll be okay. Just a little power nap. It's amazing how the tide turns and how I come to realization. But it's with time and age that I come to understanding of things. That, hey, this is beneficial to me. this might help me through the day. And so you have these 2 and 3 year olds, if anybody has kids this age or from 0 to 5 or 6 years old, they're constant learning. They're impressionable. They understand things. There was a conversation Thursday night that went down in our car about halfway through our neighborhood. I still remember the corner where I pulled over because my wife told me, hey, stop. I need to take care of something and talk to somebody. And I still remember the place. This was Thursday night, and we stopped there. We went on our way, went and got some dinner, came home. The next morning, I was taking Hadley to her grandmother's house. And we got to that exact point in the neighborhood. 14 hours later, she said, Daddy, stop. And she repeated everything my wife had said to me that night about this event we were going to. Kids are smart, they're impressionable, they understand things. And they're learning and growing. And I, as a parent, I have to understand that. I have to be patient with them. I have to be understanding with them and willing to show. Because they're smart, they're impressionable. But what about me as an adult with my Heavenly Father? How much patience does He have with me? I get impatient about bedtime after 3 years. Everybody say 3 years. There's things He's been working on me for 33 years with. And yet He still has mercy on me. He still loves me. I'm telling you, it changes your perspective. His patience with my attitude, His patience with my patience, His patience with my, at times, my unwillingness to do what He asked me to do. All of these things. And yet He just willingly. Brother Kendrick, can you go to Mark chapter 10? I'm going to go to verse 13. The scripture stuck out to me on Wednesday as I was pondering these thoughts. And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them. His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said to them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God's like little children. These kids represent the kingdom. But when verse 15 says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So here I am as a dad, I'm frustrated. I get irritated because my three-year-old doesn't know how to drive. You know. Here's the end of that story. The funny thing is that the older she's getting now, the last few months, when she says, Daddy, I want to drive, what she really means is, I want you to put your hands on the steering wheel. And I'm going to put my hands on the steering wheel. And I really want you to drive. I just want to be up here and experience this. See, she's, even though she's incapable and doesn't understand yet, she's figured out by my direction that you can't run into trees. You can't run off cliffs. And she understands, I don't understand this yet. I can't figure this out yet. So, Dad, put your hands on the steering wheel because you know how to do this. I just want to enjoy the experience. And Jesus said, if you want to understand the kingdom, if you want to be a part of the kingdom, you got to receive it as a little child. You got to kind of break yourself down and allow yourself to be taught and molded and shaped. You know, Hadley expects patience from me to the millionth, billionth degree. If she's slow in putting her shoes on going out the door because we're late for church, and Hadley, come on. Hadley, this is the third time I've told you. Stop playing with your puzzle and put your shoes on. You know what she says? Dad, you just hurt my feelings. Have some patience. She expects patience. And I expect patience of God. When I make mistakes and when I fail, I expect Him to be, we've come to expect that mercy to just be extended to us. Whoever can't receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he can't enter therein. Verse 16 says, and He took them up in His arms, put His hands on them, and blessed them. He was trying to help adults to understand these kids are onto something here. their trust, their ability to just believe that dad's going to take care of me. Hallie doesn't get up in the morning and wonder if she's going to have breakfast. She gets up and says, where's my peanut butter and toast? She knows it's there. She trusts that dad's going to make breakfast for me. Can you shift gears? Psalm chapter 1. That was free. Or that was part 1, and we're going to part 2. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his seeds, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. More thoughts. I've had a lot of time to think the last week. I've told you my upbringing. I've spent time, I've raised cattle, I've worked on an oat farm, raised horses. I've been around livestock my entire life, a little bit of grass, hay. My involvement the last year or so in this orchard has started to baffle me a little bit. I was driving down a row yesterday, and I started to see out of hundreds of trees in a row, there'll be one tree in the middle. Tree number 50 out of 100 is dead or dying or doesn't have, something's going wrong with it. And that baffles me because, you know, when I was a kid raising livestock, you could decide, you could treat different cattle differently. Sometimes you get a cow that, I'll give you my experience, we had chickens for a while. I hated chickens with a passion. I love eating chicken, but I hate chickens. Every chicken deserves what it gets when it's sitting on my plate, as far as I'm concerned. If you love chickens and you have chicken as a pet and it sleeps with you at night, please forgive me. I'll give you a formal apology after church. Come see me. I hate chickens. And I had chores as a kid. I had responsibilities. I was to feed the cows, feed the horses, and feed the chickens. Those were my responsibilities. You know who got fed the least? The chickens. You know who had the most des on our farm? The chickens. My dad couldn't figure it out. He'd go out there and them stupid things just be dead lying in the coop. Just dead, deader than a doornail. The days I did feed them, they were nuts. And there was a specific rhyme, or there was a specific reason that I did what I did. I'd starve them for 2-3 days. Then I'd open the chicken coop door and let them out. Because they were starving, so they'd take off running. They'd clear out of the coop, then I'd run into the barn, get the feed, go back, and as soon as they heard that feed dumping in that trough, they'd come back on a dead run. Well, I had just a few seconds to get that feed in the trough, get out, back into the barn so I could hide from them, and then they would run into the coop to eat, and I'd slam the door behind them. It was all calculated. I hated these things. Part of the reason I hate them is because they attacked me. But that was my experience. You could feed one cow more, make sure this cow was taken care of, let that cow go. And sometimes, you know, when calves would be born, you'd see one calf make sure it was fed by its mother, another calf wouldn't get fed, and next thing you know, that calf's dead. But in these trees, every tree gets treated equally. Everybody gets the same amount of water. Everybody gets the same amount of nutrients. Everybody gets the same amount of bug spray. Everybody gets the same amount of fertilizer. Nobody's treated unequally. Yet there are some that just, they're in the same soil. They're 8 feet away from a tree that's just loaded with the most beautiful fruit you could ever see on one side. 8 feet on the other side is another tree beautifully loaded with fruit. 18 feet that way is another one, and 18 feet that way is another one. And they're sitting there with their leaves all shriveled up. They're turning brown. They got branches that are bare, and I'm driving through there going, what is wrong with you? What's different about you? What happened to you? You're planted out here amongst all these beautiful trees that are producing and that are thriving and living, and you're a waste of my money. I put the same amount of money into you as I put into your best friend next door. And I put the same amount of money into you as I put into your friend that's across the row from you. But yeah, you don't produce. Jesus talks about this tree in Psalm chapter 1. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's talking about a tree that is planted somewhere. It's planted by the rivers of water. It has the proper nutrients. It is receiving everything that it needs, and it's receiving that stuff, and it's taking it, it's processing it, and it's in turn producing fruit. He said it shall bring forth its fruit in its season. It's producing something. It's a successful tree. You know, you realize he's talking about us, right? He's using this analogy. The psalmist here is using this analogy of foliage and trees, but he's talking about us. That tree that's planted next to another tree. If my brother here is plant one and I'm plant two and I'm sitting in seat one and he's sitting in seat three, and he's producing fruit, and he's receiving the word of God. He's taking studious notes here, and he's doing these things. He's receiving the word of God, and it's being put into his vessel. He's digesting the word. He's going home and he's praying about it. And next thing you know, he starts to see the fruit of the word of God that's been planted into his spirit that he receives through his own personal study and through Wednesday night Bible study and Sunday morning worship gathering. And he receives all these things, and he starts to see fruit produced in his life. But me in seat one, I've been eating the same bread. I've been drinking the same juice. I've been receiving and participating in the same worship, and I've been sitting in the same Wednesday night Bible studies, and I'm doing all these things, and I'm receiving the same spiritual meat. I've heard people make statements before, not here, but I've heard people make statements before. Well, I'm just not being fed here anymore. What? What about this tree right here? What about this tree over here? And you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, at some point, not now because we're too busy right now, but someday in the future, we're going to go in there with a chain and some sort of piece of machinery. We're going to wrap it around that tree, and I'm going to yank that thing out by the roots. I'm going to get a hold of it. I'm just going to rip it out. And we'll lift it up in the air, and some technician, some technical person, some biologist is going to come out, and they'll look at it, and they'll say, yeah, you know, looks like some moles got to the roots. Looks like some bugs got in the root system, and you guys didn't realize it. And they'll begin to dissect, and they'll begin to try to understand what killed this tree when these other trees were doing good. And as a child of God, you start to dig into something. Somebody comes to you one day and says, hey, you know what? This church thing, you know. There's better churches out there. We're just not getting fed the word anymore, you know? And you start digging into that and say, oh, yeah, really? Tell me about it. And you start to realize there's something going on below the surface. And he says it here. He said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Before you know it, you start to realize, wait a minute. There's too many voices in your life. Wait a minute. The nutrients are there. The food's there. The meat's there. The water's there. But you're just choosing. There's something going on in the root system and the foundation of your life that's blocking that flow or blocking that source from being utilized as nutrients in your spiritual life. Verse 2 said, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He starts to draw this contrast between the wicked and the godly, between one who's planted by, he says it's planted by the rivers of water. It's got a source. It's got an unending source of nutrients and water. You go into the New Testament. The scripture said that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Talking about the Spirit of God, talking about receiving the Holy Ghost. And so you start to draw those conclusions and types and shadows, and he's starting to talk about this individual that's planted by the rivers of living water. He's planted there. He's receiving nutrients. He's spending time in the Holy Ghost, and he's drawing strength from these things. But the ungodly aren't that way. The wicked aren't that way. They're walking in counsel that's not godly. They're receiving wisdom that's not godly. They start to open themselves up to other influence. You see, they're planted. They look like, they give the appearance as though they're growing. They give the appearance as though they're receiving something. But throughout time, you see, 2 years ago, you couldn't tell any difference between all the trees. Last year, we couldn't really tell a difference either, but this year, it starts to unfold. It doesn't maybe unfold in a day or a week or a year when something starts to go wrong in a person's life. Maybe that seed of bitterness that takes hold in them and starts to take root in their lives, it doesn't maybe expose themselves tomorrow. It may not even expose themselves next year. It may not even expose itself a year after next, but you give it 3 years, you give it 4 years, the next thing you know, something happens, and you drive by one day, and you're like, what happened to you? You were perfectly fine last year, and now you're ready to walk away from God. What happened? It blows my mind. I see people today that I used to rub shoulders with, and that were fellow ministers of mine, people that loved God and people who had the same aspirations that I did. And we went to Bible school together. We sat through the same classes. We received the same inspiration. And I see some of them people nowadays, they don't even know if they believe in God anymore. What happened? You look just like me. You may even look better than me 2 years ago. There were people that got pushed to the front of the class, and people that got selected because they maybe had a better pedigree or somebody thought they were better material, more potential than me. I was just a backcountry redneck, barely talk. Didn't even have really good proper English. Other people were well-rounded and polished, and maybe their tree looked better. They looked like they were growing bigger, and they had more potential to produce bigger and more delicious fruit. But you look at them now, and you're like, what happened? That doesn't just happen overnight. A tree just one day doesn't decide, I'm going to stop receiving nutrients. But in the process of time, something that gets a hold of it today. Something that gets a hold of it today starts to manifest itself down the road. Something that it opens itself up to today starts to manifest itself down the road. I've got to be careful the things that I allow into me. I've got to be careful the things that I allow to penetrate me, the voices that I allow to enter into my spirit and heart and mind. Who are the voices in your life? Who is the voice in your life? Who are you listening to? Who are you receiving guidance from? I'm asking these questions because I want you to think about it. I desire, my heart's desire, my personal desire, and I believe the Lord's desire is that every single one of you be a tree planted by the rivers of water. That you're bringing forth fruit every season. Not every season is a season of producing. There are all kinds of seasons. There's a season of losing leaves, and there's seasons where we all appear dead. If you walked onto that property 9 months ago, you'd have said, what in the world is wrong with this place? It's an ugly, barren, cold, dark place during winter. There's nothing beautiful about it. In fact, I walked out there one day. I was there by myself. And it was dark and gray, and it was kind of spitting ice and snowing. It was kind of scary, just being honest. It was kind of scary. But in the spring, those buds and those blossoms start to come out. Those pink flowers are everywhere on all those green leaves. And he's like, this is an oasis. This is something beautiful. It's the seasons of time. And he said, there's going to be seasons where you're going to produce fruit. We all go through different seasons. We go through seasons of loss and seasons of gain. John chapter 15, verse 1, Brother Kendrick. Jesus talked about this a little more. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That's what I said. Anything that's not bearing, we got to get it out of there. It's taking up. It's, you see, this is, he's using the natural sense, but he's talking about the spiritual sense. You see that tree that's not bearing fruit? I wasn't joking. You put the same amount of money into it. Water's not free. Every time we turn the water on, you have to pay a bill. Every time you get a glass of water in your house, it costs you something if you're on the city water system. If you're on a well in here, say thank you, Jesus. Every time you turn the water on to get a glass of water, you're being charged for that. It's not free. So if you had a dead corpse in your house, that'd be weird. If you do, don't raise your hand. And you poured a glass of water every day and dumped it down their throat, that costs you money. Why would you do that? They're dead. You don't. Nobody goes to the graveyard and pours water in dead people's graves. No, it costs money. Jesus said, if you're not producing fruit, why would I keep putting money into you? Why would I keep putting time and effort into you? He said, no, you just cut it off. He purgeth it. He gets it out of the way because why? There's other trees. There's other people nearby that are ready and willing to receive the things that he's offering so that they can bear more fruit. Your life can continue to produce good things. It costs the same amount of money to feed the dead one as it does the live one. I got to where yesterday. You've been in that thing for over 3 or 4 hours. You start getting kind of weird. I started shutting this prayer off when I got to him. You're not getting any today. You're not going to produce anything. You don't get anything. I was mean. Started treating it like that chicken. He purged it that he may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Everybody say, abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I got to tell you another story. As I was reading the scripture, this came back to my mind. I found a tree a couple months ago that somebody had hit with a tractor and broke a big solid branch off, about that big around. It broke it off. And it was laying in the middle of the orchards. It was laying in the road so you couldn't drive by it. But it still had green leaves on it, so I thought it was recent. I thought it just happened the last couple weeks. I got to looking at it. It happened months ago. But there's just about that much wooden bark still connected. It didn't break it all the way clean, but there's about that much. If you can see that little, I'm not exaggerating. There was about that much wooden bark still connected on the bottom side of that. And that's what's hanging and holding it to the tree. And the rest of it's off. Did you know that that thing has some of the most beautiful green leaves on it? The reason I thought it was recent is because it was still green. It was still growing. I thought, oh man, somebody must have hit that last week. No, they hit it months ago. I tell you that to say, it doesn't, when he says, if you are in me and I in you, you don't have to be completely connected. There's some people, when they're dead, you can tell they're gone. There's some people that are hanging on by a thread. You ever heard that term? Man, he's hanging on by a thread. This poor branch is hanging on by a thread, and it's still producing. It's still getting enough nutrients to keep putting leaves out and make itself look alive. And so it makes you wonder, when people die spiritually, just how disconnected are they? Just how disconnected have you been? Even it's funny, some of these, you can cut them off and leave them on the ground. They'll stay alive for 2-3 days. And then the leaves start to wither. There's enough within itself to sustain itself for 72 hours or so. And then it dies off. You see somebody dead spiritually, how disconnected are they? We use that term sometimes. Man, they're really disconnected. He said, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse six. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now he takes it a step further. First he talked about fruit. You're going to produce fruit. But he says, if you'll abide in me, if you'll stay connected to me, and I abide and my words abide in you, you're receiving the nutrients. You're receiving the spiritual food. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Think about that. There's a place of abiding in him. There's a place of staying connected to him as a branch. That when the branch says to the vine, I need something, the vine says, okay. Think about that. There is a place of connection with him where he says, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, I like fruit. I like the idea of producing fruit. I like the idea of fruit being produced in my life. Whatever fruit is, it's different for everybody. I love the season of harvest in my life when I'm receiving, I'm reaping the benefits of the things the Lord is doing in me. I love those seasons of time. And I'm as guilty as the next person as a person of remembering those seasons in dark times and trying to reproduce them in my humanity and saying, well, I was doing this during this time and I was doing this in that time and that seemed to produce a great harvest in me. So maybe I can go back and try to recreate that. And then, no, it just delays the process. And then in the season of time and the process of time, he comes and I see a harvest again. I'm like, wait, how did that happen? What did I do this time? He's in control of all that. And I appreciate the seasons of harvest in my life, but I tell you what, they don't compare to the seasons. There is nothing that compares spiritually to the seasons of when you believe and when you pray and you begin to ask God for things, you begin to see them happen just like that. You begin to pray about situations and God brings them to pass. You begin to mention things in prayer and faith believing and you see it happen. I'm not talking about in a month or a year or 6 months. I'm talking about you believe something in prayer that morning or that afternoon and that evening or that evening or the following morning or whatever. Boom, it happens. The phone rings. I had one of those situations this last week on Monday morning. I got up and I began to pray and talk to the Lord about a situation. And on my way home from Marysville Monday night, my phone rang with an unknown number. And boom, God answered a prayer. I love those seasons of time. And there's nothing against fruit being produced in your life. And I love that season. I love the season of harvest when God is blessing. But I'm telling you, that season where you're asking what you want, what you will, and having it done unto you. Man, I'm telling you, there's nothing like that. There's nothing more faith building than praying and believing and seeing God bring it to pass. But that only comes from a place of abiding in him. Let's stand together. I remember a season of time, I even vocalized this to somebody. It was about 6 years ago, maybe less, maybe 5 years ago. I was going through a really dark season of life. I'd come through a really dark season of life. It had been about a year or so. Things had been tough. Things had been hard. And I remember receiving an invitation. A bishop was taking a group of guys up to Stehekin, and he invited me to go with them on a 3-day trip. I put some things, rescheduled some things, put some things aside, and went. There were some guys from the east side that went with us. There was a group about 5 or 6 of us that went. Kaylee went that year. The year after that, Kaylee didn't go, but Kaylee went that year. And something happened up there in that little village to me. I don't know if anything happened to anyone that was there, but in my ministering, I ministered one time. We were in like 6 sessions. I ministered one time, and something happened in me. So something was set afire in me, and I can't even explain it, but I came home, and everything was different. and doors began to open and things began to happen for the next 4 or 5 months that were unexplainable to me. I mean, absolutely unexplainable. Blew my mind. And that became such a landmark experience. I didn't go back the next year, but the year after that, I went back, had an opportunity to go back. And I remember saying to Bishop a week or two before he left, man, I'm really looking forward to going. This meeting meant so much to me last time. And it was a catalyst that set things in motion in my life through that season of time that I'm just excited about going, I can't wait to get there. And we went. I ministered once or twice. Came home. Waited. Waited some more. Waited again. Nothing. Man, I was disappointed. What happened? Did I not wear the right clothes up there? Did I not pray enough while I was there? No. That's not. See, I go back to these milestones and I keep trying to recreate things because that was a season of great blessing and a season of harvest. He said, that was my timing. It really didn't have anything to do with you. It just happened. It so happened after you got back from there. But in my humanity, I connected the success with the harvest and the blessing with where I was at. He says, I start and stop. I begin and end seasons. He's God. In the Northwest, he says summer starts after the 4th of July. In the Midwest, he says it starts mid-May. He's God. He could flip-flop it if he wants, but he chooses not to because he controls the seasons. And such it is spiritually. He controls the seasons of my life. He can say, Tolbert over there gets blessed during summer. Johnstone over there gets blessed in winter. Deal with it. That's what he says. He's God. He controls the seasons. And I see seasons of time and seasons of change. And all of us have to embrace that individually. And I can't look at someone else's season and say, whoa, I must not be connected to the vine right now because look at that season. No. Every season's different. My brother Garcia back here, he's in a season of change. But I can't be jealous because I need change in my life right now. I say, well, it must be a season of change. Where can I go? What can I do? Get me out of my current situation, God. I'm not saying he's saying that. I'm just using as an example. He's in a season of change. I guess I got my own season to change. I'm about to have 2 kids instead of one. That's scary. Everybody's in different seasons. And I can't compare my season against someone else's because some of you may feel like you're in the dead of winter right now. And it's getting dark at 4 o'clock. And it's not getting light till 8. And you're going, where's God at? It's just nothing but darkness in my life. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I don't know what's going on. Hang on. It's just a season. And seasons don't last forever. They seem like they do. I know winter in the Northwest seems like it lasts eternity, but it really doesn't. It's just a season and it changes. And so whatever season you're in today, it's my responsibility to stay connected as a branch, to stay connected to the vine because there's another season coming. Would you pray with me right now? Father, you know the seasons represented in this room today. You know the seasons of time that I've had to endure, Father, different situations and different circumstances in my life. Father, you see my personal season. You see my personal season today, Father. You're in control of it. I place it into your hands today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I thank you for the season that I'm currently in, Father, because I know that it's you who's brought me to this season. Though it may not be joyous, though that may not be my favorite season, Father, I'm thankful for the season of time that I'm in, because I know, Father, that I'm connected to you. I know that I'm in your hands, and I know that your will is being played out in my life, and I'm thankful today for your guiding. I'm thankful today for your leading. I know, Father, that you have other things in store for me. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Ikarande arondo roboria rabashiki arondo roboria rabaye. Ikarondo ria rabashi arondo ria rabaki arondo romaye. Ila rabaria rondo ria rabashi arondo ria rabaki andaye. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hironi irande ara la bosho corro bare ara la baye. Ili ara la borri ara mare ara la bosho ro borri ara la baye. I don't remember the entire scripture. I don't even remember who said it. It was Paul, I believe. Somewhere in the epistles. He made the statement that in whatever state I am therewith, I'll be content. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Sometimes we choose to be contentious with God over contentment. We get contentious with God about our current state, about our current season. And he's asking us to be content. Can you just be still and know that I'm God? Can you just be at peace with where you're at and know that God's going to bring a different season? That's what he does. That's his job. He's not going to keep you where you're at forever. As long as you're connected to him. Now, I have seen him. Let me clarify. I have seen him at work in people's lives who were disconnected, who couldn't seem to get out of things. But I've also seen him at work in people's lives who I knew by the fruit that had been produced in their lives in a previous season, that they were connected to the vine. And so while they were in a season of darkness that didn't seem to be producing anything in their life, I had faith in them. Because I had seen the fruit, Brother Lindsay. There had been fruit produced. Things were going good. You know what's interesting is that people say, don't judge a book by its cover. But then they put a cover on a book. People say, don't judge me by how I look. But yet we go outside and we know it's summertime outside today. Why? Because there's leaves on the trees and how it looks and the flowers are beautiful. You walk outside in the wintertime, you know, if you were in a cave and you walked outside in Washington in January, you know it was winter, wouldn't you? No leaves on any trees. There's no flowers growing. Becomes apparent. Last year, I had a tree in front of my house. When they built our street, they put these little trees in by city code. And nobody watered it. They didn't put any irrigation out there. And I was bad about watering it because I didn't always have time. Man, that thing was really late in budding last year. And I even called the builder and I said, I think I got a dead tree. He said, give a couple more weeks. Okay, I was very impatient. I wanted this thing. I wanted to know this thing was alive, because if it wasn't alive, it was the right time of year to get it out of the ground and get a new one in the ground. He said, give it a couple more weeks and call me back. So I did. I waited. Walked out there one day and I saw those little nubbins start to come up. Little green shoots. Okay, it's alive. There's something there. So this year, I didn't even doubt it. Neighbor's tree across the street, it had nice offshoots on it. Mine was still bare. Kaylee asked me, is that thing dead? Nope, it's alive. Just give it time. Sure enough, that thing has got leaves. It's got beautiful leaves on it today. I had faith in it this year. Its season's lasting a little bit longer than the neighbor's season. So I'm not going to get upset about it. But I've seen it produce. And so I know that there's something there. Though on the outside, it doesn't look great right now. I know that there's something there. Amen. Would you pray one more time? Father, I'm grateful today for your word that encourages me. I'm grateful today for the examples of your word that you lay out to us to help us to understand the process of our walk with you, the process of our relationship with you, Father. I'm grateful to you today, Jesus. I'm thankful to you today, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm going to dismiss you. Enjoy the rest of your day. If you have activities planned, have a great time. We'll see you back here on Wednesday night.